Welcome to $100 Plus Mileage, the podcast about New Hampshire citizens' legislature and the many bills it votes on. So far this year, our podcast has talked about ticket resellers, coyote hunting, child library records, metal detecting on sports fields, and now, bars and restaurants that overserve alcohol. Yes, if you're not aware, if a customer drives drunk and hurts someone in New Hampshire, the business that served them might face a fine and a suspended alcohol license. To some victim advocates, however, these penalties do not go far enough. Let's talk about it.
We like to keep this podcast lighthearted, but this one actually has a pretty sad story behind it, so fair warning if you're looking for a pick-me-up. You might still find this episode inspirational, however, because it's all about the power individuals have to change state law.
I've got to put a plug in here for our earlier episode about citizen-led bills. It's not all tragedy. I seem to recall a well-known bill that involved chicken trespassing. Check it out. You can find the episode at the end of season one.
Okay, today's bill was introduced in honor of Merrimack resident Elizabeth Croak. She was 20 years old when she was killed by a drunk driver in 2021. The driver was also killed. He was drinking at the Old School Bar and Grill in Windham before he made a U-turn on the Everett Turnpike and crashed head-on into Croak's vehicle. His blood alcohol content was nearly three times the legal limit. According to the Liquor Commission report, he was served three tall mixed drinks and a shot within 90 minutes at the Old School Bar and Grill.
Every body is different, but I think the science is pretty clear that the human body is not going to metabolize all that alcohol in such a short period of time.
Correct. The Liquor Commission fined the Old School Bar and Grill $2,500 and suspended their license for 10 days. That's the current maximum penalty. However, when the bar closed from November 22nd to December 2nd, a post on Facebook implied they were simply giving the staff a break for the holidays.
Oof, yeah.
I watched the public hearing for this bill, and when the parents of Elizabeth Croak talked about that part, they did not mince words. David Croak said, "They showed no remorse. The bartender fled town, and she now lives in New York. They turned a family tragedy into a time of employee celebration."
Right, and hence this bill.
Yes, Elizabeth Croak's parents are working with legislatures to increase the penalties for bars and restaurants. Under current state law, if an alcohol licensee serves someone who is, quote, who a reasonable and prudent person would know is intoxicated, and that person goes on to cause serious injury or death, the licensee faces a fine and license suspension. HB 279, this year's bill, would increase the maximum fine to $7,500 and the suspension period up to 30 days. The length of the license suspension would go down if employees have completed voluntary New Hampshire Liquor Commission training within the past 2 years. If a restaurant or bar has multiple offenses, however, their liquor license could be revoked. HB 279 also requires the restaurant or bar to post why their liquor license was suspended.
Obviously, that last bit seems to be a direct response to what happened to the Croak family.
You're not wrong.
So the pro arguments here are really spelled out through the Croak family story.
At the January public hearing, David Croak did tell his daughter's story, and he concluded with the following argument. It is a privilege to hold a New Hampshire liquor license. No patron should be allowed to leave an establishment when he is known to have consumed that much alcohol that fast or when he shows signs of impairment.
Right, and of course we have to get to the pros and cons here. It's really hard to argue against a tragedy like that, but I can see some bartenders, servers, and business owners who might be uneasy about being suddenly more responsible for judging how drunk someone really is.
Mike Summers, president and CEO of the New Hampshire Lodging and Restaurant Association, showed up at the public hearing on their behalf. He brought up the challenge of, quote, pre-gaming, which is when a patron drinks at home or another establishment before arriving at the bar or restaurant.
Right. So a server is only aware of the alcoholic drinks that he or she has provided the customer. But on a busy night, it might be hard for an overworked bartender to judge how impaired someone may be.
Summers also argued that tripling the fine and the license suspension was too harsh. For small bars and restaurants, a 30-day suspension would likely put them out of business.
It's also worth reminding listeners that, of course, there are separate civil and criminal penalties for drunk driving. All right, Anna, what should our listeners do if they have an opinion on this bill?
HB 279 passed the House in February and now heads to the Senate for a public hearing. A date for that hearing has not yet been set. However, you can find HB 279 on our website. We will show the public hearing date on the bill page as soon as that's available. You can also always reach out to your state senator, who will eventually vote on the bill after the public hearing.
And that brings us to our closing segment only in New Hampshire. Anna, what lore do you have for us today, and hopefully something a little more uplifting than this subject?
Okay. Did you know that it is illegal in New Hampshire specifically to steal a stone wall?
No, I did not. But my house here has an old stone wall that runs in the backyard. So I guess I should be more protective of it.
You should. I've learned so much. So RSA 539:4 specifically says, quote, whoever shall willfully and unlawfully dig or carry away any stone, including stone from a stone wall, or gravel, clay, sand, turf, mold, or loam upon or from land holden in common or from the land of another person, or shall aid therein, shall forfeit to the person injured treble damages based on the cost of materials and restoration, and including attorney's fees and costs. Which is all legalese to say that if you get caught carrying away a stone wall, you're going to have to pay a whole lot of money for it. When I saw this law, I sensed a story. So I dug up the history, no pun intended. This law has been on the books for many, many, many years. But until 2009, the maximum penalty was only $15. Meanwhile, theft of stone walls was not an insignificant problem. According to the bill sponsor in 2009, as well as the state historian, it was not uncommon for thieves to dismantle stone walls during the night, hauling them away to reassemble them on their own property. For listeners who may not know, there are many stone walls, hundreds of years old, all across New Hampshire. They were to set property lines and contain livestock. Why were people stealing them? Well, Representative Janet Wall said it was because of, quote, the pleasantness of seeing a stone wall. Yes, Representative Wall was a big supporter of the Wall Bill. Everything about this story is aesthetically pleasing. Unfortunately, however, Representative Wall was one of the victims of the Stonewall thieves.
Ugh.
She woke up one morning to find her wall was gone. That prompted her to lobby for the bill. Long story short, in 2009, the legislature changed the law. And now if you get caught stealing a stone wall, you have to pay quite the price.
Wow. What an affront it must be to just wake up one morning and your neighbor has removed your stone wall and it made it their stone wall now. Well, I think my two favorite things about the wording of this bill is whoever shall willfully and unlawfully dig or carry away the stone wall. So as if you could accidentally steal a stone wall. And also, I also really like that it says like, whoever steals the stone wall or shall aid therein. So imagine being arrested as being an accomplice to having stolen
a stone wall.
Yeah.
I'm more thinking, like, when I think of the stone walls I saw when I was a kid, these could go for miles because that was the whole point, is they were long boundary lines. So I'm just imagining the heist level you would have to do to sneak onto someone's property in the night and load up all these stones into some sort of large vehicle and then drive away without waking up anyone nearby. And furthermore, how do you know how to reassemble it? They're all so like carefully balanced and crafted. Are you like numbering the stones with chalk as you and your accomplice are one by one loading them into your truck? So many questions.
This is reminding me of the Robert Frost poem, Mending Wall. You know, I wonder if he was aware of the legal challenges in that poem.
Well, one more thing. I will say there is also a law about stealing fences. So we might have a part two to this.
Okay, well, tune in to the next episode to find out about that, guys. In the meantime, that wraps it up for this episode of $100 Plus Mileage, but you can find more information and episodes at citizenscount.org. This podcast is made possible by a generous grant from Northeast Delta Dental. We'd also like to thank Franklin Pierce University for producing and the Granite State News Collaborative for hosting. Our theme music is composed by me, Mike Dunbar. And lastly, we thank you for giving us a listen and thinking about how you can be part of what makes New Hampshire by the people, for the people.